Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, with regards to the ahkams, the orders, those orders that we have to practice and implement, that Allah has ordered us to implement, those ahkams, those orders, with each order, alongside each order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached a reward. If it is actioned, any hukam, any order, let's take the faraid, for example. Otherwise, we have to take what comes our way. And just for Allah to give us a hukam, it's our good fortune that Allah gives us an order. There's no greater good fortune than this. So Allah is the Khaliq and we are the creator, creation. And for example, let's say there's the master and he tells somebody under him that please wash my car. And he says, I'm very lucky that this person is telling me to wash his car or to assist him. So if you have a lot of respect, if you have a lot of respect for somebody and high regard for somebody and he asks you to do something for him, then you'll be happy. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, says that pray salah, we are lucky that Allah ta'ala is saying that, look, Allah is the creator and his creation, the human beings should be so happy and say that Allah, my creator, has chosen me and told me and said to me that pray to me, that we should be so happy whenever Allah gives us hukm order, that we are lucky actually that we are being given the order. Not the other way around, we are lucky. It's Allah's mercy, His Rahim, His Kareem, His mercy and His grace. Allah ta'ala says that, look, first of all, I'm giving you the order. Even just the order on its own is massive enough for you. But to implement it, Allah says on top of that, I'll give you reward as well. And that's even a double bonus. So Allah ta'ala could have just said, Aqimu salah, pray salah. And is there anyone in the world who can dare not to obey Allah and say, I'm not going to pray? But on top of that, Allah says, I give you hukam, that pray. And on top of that bonus, additional is that for every movement, sawab, you leave from home, reward, wudu, reward, prostration, reward, go to the masjid, reward. In other words, there is no limit to the rewards Allah Ta'ala gives for each and every action. And look at Allah's mercy. And despite all of this, we've left the rewards, we've left Allah's order. Imagine what kind of human being that person is who doesn't even listen to Allah. Think, can he have any life? Can he have a connection with his creator? Can he really deserve anything? And he breaks Allah Ta'ala's rule. Allah says, look, I tell you to do this. No, I don't want to do this. But I want to go to paradise. How can this be? So as I was saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us orders, He's given us ahkams, He's given rewards attached. And innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. Allah says that it's not I won't give the reward. As Allah ta'ala said, I won't give the reward. Subhanallah, Allah ta'ala said, if I say one, I'll give 10. This is Allah's mercy on top of this, all what we've just discussed. Allah ta'ala says that if you listen to one of my orders, Allah says, I am pleased with you. On one action, I told you once, one palace, no, here, take 10, Allah Ta'ala will say. Take 10. That jannatan, Allah Ta'ala says, not one, that those people who fear, they'll have two abodes, two paradise. So Allah is the Malik, He can give as much as He wants, to whom He wants. So instead of one, Allah will give many times over. So here, Allah Ta'ala's promise, remember, Allah Ta'ala's promise is the strongest. Allah will 100% fulfill His promise. So when we sit down, we should be so relaxed. Oh, subhanAllah, end of story. Allah has given us success. Now we are sitting here, we are obeying Allah's order, and Allah said that there's a reward for this, and He definitely will give it to us. And that person who disobeys, now let's go to the opposite side. What will be his condition, her condition? That person's eating, drinking, living, breathing, and disobeying Allah? At the same time, imagine a person doesn't listen to his father, his dad, his mum, ustad. Then when that person comes in front of the mother, father or the ustad, he's ashamed, sweating. Oh, my ustad said do this and I didn't do this. Then he'll try to hide away. Oh, let me hide in the back so that he didn't see me. How shameful. He gave me the hukam and I didn't do the work I was told to do. So now you tell me, and me, let me look inside myself, that how will I show my face to Allah? Every day I'm showing my face to Allah by disobeying Him, and then I'm still showing my face every day. Brothers, think. We should realize when we know that this is an order of Allah, that's it. Full stop. No excuses. You practice it, doesn't matter what the condition is. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala says, you'll be like an empty void. And nothing in the world will have mercy on you. None of the creation or the animals will have mercy on you. There's a dua that Allah, that don't give us strict rulers. Allah, don't give us evil rulers. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that through the human being, I will make you wretched. I will make your ruler very strict, that he will treat you like a dog. And he will make you wretched. Then he'll give you money again. And then he'll make you wretched again. And your life will become difficult. And he'll make the people disobedient. This is the punishment that Allah Ta'ala sends through human beings. But when a person obeys Allah, listens to Allah, then Allah Ta'ala says, I become pleased. And when Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then everyone in the universe becomes soft-hearted towards that person. And everyone's heart becomes soft and tender because he has obeyed Allah. These are things that we need to think about, brothers, that if a person disobeys Allah, he cannot live in the world correctly, nor in the hereafter. He has nowhere to live. Just be quiet. Allah has given 5 orders, 5 faraid. Just be quiet and obey them and just count the days. One is Iman. Allah has given Iman. That's the first pillar. After that, the biggest hukum is what? Order. Say it loudly. What is it? Salah. Namaz, yeah? Now, there should be not one person who sat here and after hearing what I'm saying, that he doesn't pray salah. Impossible for the life. That he doesn't obey Allah's order. Yeah? For example, your boss says, okay, today you have to come 5 a.m. in the morning, tomorrow. We need to do stock take. Will you go 5 a.m. to work? Tell me who will say, no, I'm not coming. To the boss. And he won't say, oh, were you feeling sleepy, early? If you say, yes, boss, we'll be there tomorrow. If he says, today, I want to keep you till 10 p.m. overtime, there's a lot of work, I'm sorry, you got to stay. And then the employee will say, okay, I'll phone home, I'll tell the family, and will you come until 10 p.m.? Of course you will, you'll work. So for rizq, who gives the rizq? Boss or Allah? Allah gives the rizq. So who are we disobeying? Yeah, Allah says, I close all the doors of rizq, of earning. That we don't pay attention to this point. And this is a very deep point we need to understand, my friends. That even if we have no link with anyone in the world, but definitely create the link with Allah. And not just this, Allah, I believe in you. And that's my link with you. Oh, Allah, I believe in you. And that's my link with you. This is not a link, connection with Allah. Just to believe in Him. After believing in Allah, there are doors that we need to pass through. Allah says, you believe in me, you accept that I'm your Rabb, then foolish person, why don't you obey my orders? Double your punishment you'll get. That how can you say you believed and you don't obey me? Allah says, then you don't believe in me. So this is the point that all the orders Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the 4 ahkam salah, after when Ramadan comes, we fast in Ramadan, we pay zakat, the compulsory charity, and hajj, if it's fard on us, then we have to go on hajj. 4 hukum, four orders. Why is it hard for us? It's so easy. We've got the whole life. So we're going to make a solid promise, we will never leave salah, inshallah. That's it. How can Allah says, I made you masjids, there's a muadhin, he calls for the adhan, people hear the adhan, all the people in the town, whoever are here, Allah Ta'ala says, call them to the muadhin. Call them. And how dare the muazzin that he gives azan at the wrong time? Allah tells him the time to give the azan. Okay, in a loud voice, call out the azan. So the azan is called fajr time. And everyone, Allah Ta'ala says, deliver my message, my call to everybody in this locality. So one is the locality we live in, and when we hear the adhan, one is physically we hear the adhan in our ears, yeah? But before this, an announcement comes. The mu'min in his ruh, he knows it's salah time. The ruh knows before the adhan is called. And this comes from Allah to his body, to his soul. And he starts to toss and turn. Oh, it's time. Get up. It's salah time. And he gets there, he reaches his ruh. His soul is knocking on him. Knock him, come on. Allah saying, get up. The ruh, yeah, they quickly get up off your mattress. And the thing that stops you from getting up the mattress is your enemy, my enemy, because that's making me disobedient and it's making me wretched in this world. And he wants me to lose and get beats with the shoes from inside, outside. The wife, the children will make him zaleel because he is disobedient to Allah. And that's what our opposition is doing. Allah says, still come. I'll still make you mine and attach you to me. Allah Ta'ala says, so what a good point this is. There's so logic, isn't it? That there should be nobody who doesn't want to obey Allah Ta'ala's order. There shouldn't be anybody, isn't there? Right? So after that, so we come to pray salah. After salah, Allah gives so many rules. I swear by Allah, thousands of rules. When you pray one salah, you take thousands of treasures back with you. So Allah has given us the ahkam, the orders, and with every order that we implement, there is a reward. Okay? So Allah says, pray salah, keep fast. Go on hajj, give zakah. In the same way, Allah has given us an order. Wadhkurullah. Remember me, Allah Ta'ala says. It's an order. Am I saying this? Or is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying this? Or some other Prophet? Who? Allah's kalam, the Quran. Wadhkurullah, Allah Ta'ala says. Remember me. This is not some sort of opinion. It's not a recommendation. And the person who doesn't listen, he's disobeying Allah or not. And he says, Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Wal ard. That you are lucky people, Allah Ta'ala says, that without me ordering, the whole universe remembers me, Allah says. I've not even told them to remember me. I've not even told them. Allah says, when did I say to the speaker, do dhikr? When did I say to the carpet, do my dhikr? Allah says, when did I say to the walls, do my dhikr? Allah says, when did I say to the tree, the leaves, the branches, do my dhikr? When did I say to the winds, Allah says, do my dhikr? When did Allah Ta'ala say to the winds and the dust, do my dhikr? When did Allah Ta'ala say to the fountain and the waterfall, do my dhikr? When did Allah Ta'ala say to all the waves on the crests of the sea, do my dhikr? When did Allah Ta'ala say to the flow of the river, do my dhikr? And then pass by. Is there anything in the world from the creation that Allah Ta'ala ordered? Anything in my creation, Allah says, and beyond my creation, there's nothing. There's not one thing you will see in the universe that doesn't do the dhikr of Allah. But Allah Ta'ala didn't order it. It didn't even come into existence and it started doing dhikr. So this is your good fortune, human being, foolish person. You are so lucky that your Rabb is telling you, remember me. And we say, nah, Allah, ain't got time for that. I ain't got time for that. So this is an usul, a principle. A principle in life that when Allah Ta'ala says something, do it. There's a reward on top of it. So if Allah Ta'ala is saying do dhikr, you think there's no reward? Of course there's a reward. So with every ibadah, according to the status of that ibadah, there is a reward. So if you look at all ibadah and bring dhikr alongside them, line them up, all the actions we do, there'll be rewards, different rewards for different actions, isn't it? So let's take dhikr. And dhikr is the greatest ibadah. The greatest ibadah is dhikr. So the greatest reward is for dhikr. The greatest worship action is dhikr of Allah. Why? Why? Why is it the greatest worship action? Allahu Akbar. Because dhikr of Allah is the ruh, is the spirit, the soul of every other worship action we do. So is the ruh important or the body important? Obviously we're praying salah. And when we're praying salah outwardly, we're praying salah. Oh, we have to keep the fast. The five faraid, the five pillars are fard. We cannot diminish them. But the soul of the fard in Islam is the dhikr of Allah. The soul, the spirit, the essence. And the more a person does dhikr, the more his salah will be good and pure and concentration and focus. Because the ruh, every single action in the name of Islam, the ruh of it is dhikr. There's one salah you pray without doing dhikr. You don't do dhikr. And the person who does dhikr, his salah is in the heavens, the skies. And the person who doesn't do dhikr, his salah is on the floor. That's the difference in the gap. So our maqsad is to pray salah, our maqsad is to fast, our maqsad is to practice the faraid. But to take these actions, these ibadat, to the heights, to get them accepted, to get them to high quality, you have to do dhikr of Allah. You have to. So what do you have to do more? Dhikr of Allah. More. You buy a car and you don't put petrol in the tank. Will the car drive? No. There's no fuel. There's a few, you're going to buy the car, expensive car. You say, please give me petrol, then I'll buy the car. Does anyone ever say this? No. We don't. We're going to say, I'd like this model, please. It's okay, take this car, this much money, these are the spec, extra Mercedes, I take this car. And you buy it. So will you go and say, first give me a tank full of petrol? You say, what do you mean? I don't understand. I'm selling the car. I'm not selling no petrol. This is the case, isn't it? In the dealership. So when you go and you buy the car, 10,000, 15,000, 17,000, you bring it home, it's parked outside. What do you need now to start it? Petrol, fuel. You need fuel. So the car is useless. 15,000 pound car is useless without the fuel. So the objective is to drive. The objective is to drive. You got a nice car, looks good. But to drive that car, to start it, you need something to start it, ignite it, petrol. Petrol. So the objective is the car, but to ignite it, fuel. So the objective is salah and your fasting and all other faraid, the objective, but to ignite them, to drive them, dhikr of Allah is needed. Dhikr of Allah is the fuel for all of your deeds in your life. So this is the foundation of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says, if this is the reward for salah, when you leave house, the meter starts ticking. The reward for salah from home. You make a niyyah, meter starts ticking. You just intended, look at the time, right, there's 2 hours left to salah, and I'm going to go to pray salah this time. So the thawab will start, 2 hours. You're waiting, meter. So if you do dhikr, which is greater, then tell me what's the reward for doing dhikr of Allah. If the reward starts 2 hours before going to Jama'ah in the masjid, and it keeps ticking, 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 and the meter ticks, then imagine the reward for dhikr of Allah, which is the highest form of ibadah, and how many rewards there will be for it. So now, such a great reward for dhikr. I remember a hadith, this is narrated in Tirmidhi, and on the night of Mi'raj, when the Prophet ﷺ ascended to the heavens, then he went to various places and saw various things, and he met the Prophets of Allah, and he had met them before, but he met different Prophets on different levels in the heavens, and they were meeting the Prophet ﷺ. Allah's my beloved has come, we must meet him, let's go, we'll be lucky, let's wait for him, meet him, the Habib of Allah is coming, the Prophet of Allah is coming. And the Prophet, sorry, one was Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, who the Prophet ﷺ met. And when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was met by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that meeting was sealed and kept intact, and it was delivered to us, the message, the how. When Rasulullah met, they did salam, they met each other, greeted each other. The first word that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said was about which ibadah? What did he say? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, tell your ummah, go and say my salam to your ummah. So say, wa alaykum salam, brothers, which you've just heard his salam. Whenever you hear this hadith, you have to answer, wa alaykum salam, because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam gave the salam. So whenever you hear this hadith, you have to give the answer. Okay? So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said salam, so say, wa alaykum salam. Good. MashaAllah. So after that, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam gave a message, and that was a message for the ummah, for the Muslimin. So I thought when I heard this, that all of the Anbiya, the Prophets, now let's think about this, all of the Prophets, their meeting, a greeting style was different, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's style was unique. And none of the other Nabis spoke about the Ummah. And soon as Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam met Rasulullah alayhi salam, he mentioned the Ummah, and this came into Mahada. The reason for this was that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, I think he knew and he realized that these people, this is such a prophet, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he holds his ummah most dear in his heart. So let me say something from which he will become happy. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned the ummah, and then Rasulullah became happy. Imagine this. So when a person loves something, when somebody else speaks about something you love, you feel so happy. So Rasulullah was spoken to by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, please give my salam to your ummah. So imagine how Rasulullah was so happy at that time, that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is remembering my ummah. And he held the ummah dear in his heart. And then the second message he gave to Rasulullah ﷺ, and he opened the secret, that how do you earn paradise? Hazrat Ibrahim ﷺ gave that hint. He said that, look here, that tell your ummah, O Muhammad ﷺ, that when you go back, tell your ummah, your nation, that Jannah, paradise, the soil in paradise is very fertile and nice and fragrant, and the water of paradise is very sweet as well. Tell your ummah this. And now, the flowers, you need to seed the flowers. And I'll tell you what the seeds are for the flowers of paradise. Because the soil is there, the water is there. Where will the flowers come out from? They will come out of the earth. So your ummah, O Prophet Muhammad, will sow the seeds. So the seed comes from here. On the earth, planet earth, you put the seeds in. And what are those seeds? Subhanallah, walhamdulillahi, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So in other words, this hadith, has Ibrahim alayhi salam told us the message, that if you want to make paradise, then that man has to decorate paradise himself while he lives in this world. And all the beauty, decoration, fragrance of paradise, you will earn while you're here via dhikr of Allah. Look at this hadith. And the person does do dhikr, what will be his jannah? What will be his paradise? Any decoration? Any luggage, any thing that he can see around him. So Jannah will be earned here on planet Earth. And how? By doing dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. The person who does dhikr of Allah abundantly, his paradise will be beautiful. Arranged flowers and fountains and waterfalls and comforts and luxuries. The dhakirin. That's why the dhakirin will have the high status. So this is the praise of the dhikr of Allah. These are the rewards Allah will give. And as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says something, then He gives more over and above that. So, okay? So the best thing in this world and the hereafter, from which we'll get the greatest reward, is dhikr of Allah. Now every dhakir, a person who does dhikr, so I do dhikr, you do dhikr, we do dhikr, other people do dhikr, but every dhakir has a different status, a different situation when he does this amal. What's the reason for this? Because dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, is such an action. It's the key to the ma'rifah of Allah. It's the key to the nearness to Allah. It cleans you inside and outside. And all the awliya Allah who passed away from this world, all the awliya Allah, the waliyas of Allah, they were given this status via the action of dhikr of Allah. There's no wali of Allah who was a wali by not doing dhikr. Every wali in history was due to his dhikr in remembrance of Allah. Now we're making an effort on dhikr. Like I said to you before, maybe I mentioned in a bayan, that we have to make effort. We should make effort on the right way, the right method. If you're working hard, but not in the right way, then you're wasting time. Now we will waste our deeds if we don't do them properly. Allah Ta'ala has given us a promise and we'll waste that reward. So reality is that the position of a dhakir, as it's been mentioned in the hadith, is that he's pure, clean, wali Allah. Because dhikr increases a person's darajat, status, and makes him go close to Allah, very close to Allah, aware of Allah. So how many people who get this through their dhikr? This is the question mark. And the reason we don't get this is because there are principles of how to do dhikr. What are they? They are principles, asool, of how, when. And if we don't learn these principles, and if we don't do dhikr of Allah according to the principles, then dhikr will not benefit us. And the nur and the light of dhikr will not come into our life. So it's lazim to do dhikr. Yes, we know that. But according to the principles. So today I felt in my heart to discuss the principles of dhikr with you. So we can realize that if we do dhikr without the principles, then we are lost. We're in the dark. We don't gain from the nur and the light and the reward of dhikr. So what are the principles of how a person should do dhikr of Allah? Okay? Because mashallah, you are dhakireen, you're the jamaat of people who do dhikr. So pay attention to these principles. That keep these principles in your mind. And in light of these principles, we do dhikr. Without these principles, we do dhikr of Allah. Then the rewards, the fawaid, the barakat, the blessings, the rewards, what Allah will give, and everything that is made for us in hereafter, our levels, our stages, our rank, our steps, we are wasting all of that then. If we don't follow the principles, all our effort is being then wasted. How sad. A person's working hard and he gets kak, nothing, zero at the end of the day. How sad. So this isn't good, is it? Right. So let's hear what are these principles of how to do dhikr. Now the first principle of doing dhikr of Allah, the first principle, asool, is love. This is a very basic point I'm telling you, but it's important that we have to have immense love for doing dhikr of Allah. That Allah, I'm remembering you, you're my creator, I'm naming your name, Allah. Allah, you give me your great favor, that I'm sitting down and I'm remembering you, Allah. This is a basic point, yeah? You should have so much love for this action and appreciation of dhikr, that just like water is an example the pious priest has given, that without water, the fish, it shakes, it can't breathe. So your life should become such that without dhikr of Allah, your heart should feel lost. There's some things left today, I haven't done something, I'm not enjoying my life. Something's void in my life, something's missing. So this should be the love you should have for the dhikr of Allah. That you should do dhikr with muhabbat, with love. You should do dhikr of Allah with love. Just like when you do dhikr of Allah with desire and passion, and you feel that today is Thursday night, that tomorrow we have to do dhikr, or today I have to do dhikr. So you should feel that I'm going to go and do dhikr in the masjid, I'm going to sit down and remember Allah, I'm going to enjoy myself. There should be no burden on your heart. You shouldn't feel that there's burden. It's nothing. To this extent that you shouldn't even be thinking about the rewards. Rather direct you should be feeling in your heart. You should have the love for the dhikr. You should have a desire and a passion that subhanAllah, I want to do dhikr today. I feel like doing dhikr today. And the person who has this in his heart, alhamdulillah, then he has the first principle of doing dhikr. The first step. So his dhikr is then successful because he has love. So the first principle is what? You need to love dhikr. When you hear there's a gathering of dhikr, you're going to dhikr, and suddenly a guest comes, then you shouldn't want the guest to come at that time. Oh, he's come at the wrong time. It's dhikr time. And I was going to dhikr. Oh, I'm stuck now. Or a certain job comes up. Oh, bad timing. In your heart, these are feelings, emotions. So I'm not complaining, but you have a feeling that, oh, why is this obstacle come? Restriction has come. For example, you're working in a shop, and your job is about to finish, and is 1 hour before you, but your boss says, no, today you have to stay overtime 1.5 hours, and your heart suddenly breaks. Oh, not the money, you're not looking at the money that I'm going to get paid for. You say, oh, I'm going to get late, I have to go dhikr at the gathering, or I have to do my dhikr mamool, my regular habit. And so this is the love, this is the sign when a person loves Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, when he feels that regret. And if a person has this in his heart, the feeling mubarak to that person. For example, there's a gathering of dhikr and nafs is telling you, don't go, oh, we don't have to go today, why do I have to go today? Oh, go late. It starts like this, nafs stops you. It's not important. Oh, no, I'll go today. Oh, no, you don't have to go today. And so you're clashing with the nafs, the desires. And the majlis has started and you're late. You say, no, no. And at the end, eventually, when you crush the desires, you reach there, then consider the love of dhikr has come into your heart. You've broken the desire. Break the nafs today. So what's this pulling you? Is the love of dhikr is pulling you to the gathering. Or to you sitting down remembering Allah. So the first usul, may Allah instill our hearts the love for His dhikr. Inshallah, you've got this in your heart, you brothers. Inshallah, our start is correct with the fadl wala. Our heart feels like doing dhikr. You don't have to be forced. You don't have to be reminded. So the pious leader said, the first step, that they give invitation, they call people to dhikr, but there's no forcing anyone. Because this is an ibadah that is done based on love. You can drag someone, obviously tell someone to do it, but the best thing is for somebody to do it and come and bring himself along automatically, like the fish. When you put the fish in the sea, in the water, it swims. And when you take the fish out of the water, it trembles. It can't even breathe. And this is the hal of a mu'min. When he doesn't do dhikr, he feels lifeless. Second usul, second principle that we should be implementing about dhikr is that on the heart, we should exercise a factor, the whole attention of the heart, the whole focus of that, with focus and concentration you should be doing dhikr of Allah. Without any other worry, no other thought in your mind at that time. Totally without fikr and worry or thinking about other things, you should be focused that I'm remembering Allah. No thinking about anything else, no looking any rows left and right. Every single percent of your focus and mind and brain and thoughts should be towards Allah, His kalamat, the verses you're reciting. The total focus should be on your heart and the kalamat you're reciting. And should make that emotion, like he says in the hadith, that do dhikr in such a way that people, they say you are crazy about dhikr. So what standard Allah Ta'ala has given, the basis for dhikr, that we should be so immersed in dhikr, so immersed that people say, oh look, he's so mad and crazy about doing dhikr, he doesn't understand anything else, we are calling him and he's just sitting there doing dhikr. The plane's about to depart and he's busy in dhikr. And remember, the plane cannot take off unless the dhakir gives ijaza, because Allah Ta'ala says the earth, it follows the hukum, the order of Allah. How can the plane take off? It'll get punctured, maybe it'll be a defect, it can't go. And there are examples like this. There are examples of people say, why is the plane late taking off? A VIP. The plane may be late due to a VIP, but also due to the fakir, the wali of Allah, the plane may be late. It doesn't move. They say everything's fine, the parts are moving, there's no defect, but the plane's not taking off. Because the fakir, he's not arrived yet. He's a little bit late. He's maybe busy in dhikr. When he sits, comes into the plane, sits, then everything's fine. It gets the nod, the go ahead, and it takes off. People say, I don't know why. Was there a technical fault? Was it not running? It was an issue, a defect, a fault. But who knows that? Who is allowing the plane to fly? Who gives the permission, the ijazah? Such a focused attention, the dhakir is so immersed and concentrating on Allah, he doesn't know that is it due to my dhikr that this will happen or this will work. He knows that I'm doing dhikr of Allah, and Allah allows everything to work due to the dhikr of Allah. And he says that there's no loss in the world due to my actions. Alhamdulillah, there'll be gain. The people at home will say, are you always doing dhikr? You don't work, you don't do anything else. And he's just quiet. And they don't know that all of the matters of the house, they are running and flowing and smooth due to his dhikr or her dhikr. The bills are being paid, the house, all the matters, they're smooth and easy. Nobody knows. They say, you keep sitting in dhikr, you don't do anything else, you have no other work to do. Why is this? Just Hazrat Sahib keeps on telling the people to go after dhikr and do nothing else. And people know this, but they don't understand that Hazrat Sahib has done a great thing. That he's told the people that be free from all of the issues and worries and be busy and focused on Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, and nobody will sleep hungry, nobody will be hungry, there'll be no problems. And this is the beautiful effect of the dhikr of Allah. So this is the second principle. When you sit in the dhikr of Allah, then you should be not worried about the dunya, the world. You just totally focus. Not looking at 30 hours, 45, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. When you finish doing the dhikr, is it? The time's passed so quickly. And you keep on tossing and turning and waiting for the next time you're going to do the dhikr. You don't feel like doing anything else. And this is focus, focus, concentrating on Allah with the heart. And the next principle the elders have stated. So this was the second principle. Focus and concentration and love for the dhikr of Allah. The third principle that we have been taught for dhikr, that everyone's doing dhikr here or there, someone's got tasbih, there are many books nowadays printed, wazaif, and you do this and read this 3 times, read this 5 times, read this 7 times. They're here, aren't they, the kitabs? But the asal principle of dhikr is this, that when a person who is a sahib al-shari'ah, a sheikh, a teacher, who demonstrates the sunnah, and the Sharia to do dhikr under his guidance. This is the third principle. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, a person who is a guide, the coach, who implements the Sharia and the Sunnah himself, and he's a teacher, Sheikh, to do dhikr under his guidance and coaching, this dhikr is the best. Rather than taking dhikr from a book, a kitab, or do this much dhikr, or do this many tasbih, someone tells you from this kitab or this chapter, recite this, do this many times, repetition, morning, this and that. Alhamdulillah, this is all good. Allah Ta'ala's name is great. But the genuine, real, like, dhikr that will give pure effect and the biggest benefit will be when you do dhikr as prescribed from a teacher who from top to toe implements sunnah and sharia in his words of the Quran and the hadith, in his words, in his practice, his sitting, his walking, talking. He has the manners and the behavior of the deen, and he has caution on halal and haram, lawful and unlawful. Alhamdulillah, there are people like this in the world because Allah Ta'ala wants to keep the dhikr of Allah progressing and spread it around the world. So Allah Ta'ala sent his awliya, his mashaykh in the world to teach dhikr. So to do dhikr under the coaching and direction of a wali, a teacher. That's the third principle. The fourth principle is that you've learned dhikr from the shaykh. Now what do we do? Because we have to be regular on dhikr. Regular on dhikr. Yeah, once you've learned dhikr from the shaykh, from the teacher, we have to be punctual on the dhikr. So the tariqah, the method and the way the shaykh has told us, that is how we should do dhikr. No objection, no criticism. If the shaykh says stand and do dhikr, you have to do dhikr. And the other person gets the same amount of dhikr, he's been told you have to run and do dhikr. And if the first unit says, why is he running and do dhikr and I have to stand and do dhikr? No. No complaints. Look at yourself, the teacher, how much dhikr he's told you, yourself individually, how much you have to do, when and how to do it. And you're steadfast on that, you close your eyes and you're punctual on this. You're punctual on this. Then you'll see the fuyuz and the barakat and the blessings, how they will come into that person's life. Totally steadfast. If the shaykh says do 1,000 tasbih, then he definitely does 1,000 tasbih. Definitely, that's it. If the shaykh says do 5 tasbih, you have to do, then do the 5 tasbihs. Your job is to do the 5 tasbihs. If the shaykh tells somebody do 10 tasbih, do the 10 tasbih. Whatever the shaykh has prescribed, then whatever the shaykh has advised and he's coached you and directed you that do this, this is the prescription, this is the list, alhamdulillah, you do that dhikr, that will be the greatest wazifa for you, the greatest lesson of dhikr for you. And that dhikr that you do that is coached by the shaykh is enough for all of your matters. If you have a stomachache, the dhikr will help. If you have a headache, the dhikr will help. If there are problems at home, the dhikr will help. If there are problems at work, the dhikr will help. Before you used to do different things to help your matters, for every issue in the world, you do that tasbih, you do your dhikr, and come on to your work matters in the world, and everything will become easy. For you, everything will become easy. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? That's subhanallah. Why do you say subhanallah? You say loudly, subhanallah. You should enjoy what you're hearing and that you're listening. Subhanallah. How good points that we are hearing here that are shortcut and advice that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. So everything's coming to your mind, the principles, or not? So these are the principles, and this is dhikr. When we do dhikr in this way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rewards He will send to us and give to us, alhamdulillah, I will tell you then what we get. Subhanallah. So this is when a person becomes regular and steadfast, and whatever the shaykh guides and tells him to do dhikr, has no problem with that, no issue with that, and steadfast and happily does it, then the success will come. And the fifth principle of doing dhikr is to reject certain actions. This is a very severe thing that we need to understand. If we're doing principles 1, 2, 3 and 4, but we don't reject the sins, we don't shun the sins, then this is a very bad thing indeed. Because the sin is a severe thing. The dhikr of Allah, if we do Allah Ta'ala's remembrance according to the four principles, but if we're sinning, then what will happen? That the effort that we made, the sins will eat and devour all of the efforts we made, and it will wipe away the good deeds and the rewards for doing dhikr of Allah. That's it. It will wipe it away. The sin. You'll go to Allah. Allah will say that this sin, you implemented these sins, and these sins wiped away and eliminate all of your good deeds. You should have saved yourself from these sins. You should have worked hard to stay away from sins. You worked hard. You made effort. And here you disobeyed Allah. That this was my hukum. Don't do this action. This is the hukum, isn't it? Of Allah. That save yourself from this. Don't do this action. Don't do this. Don't do this action. A, B, C, D. These are all the orders of Allah, aren't they? Yeah? So that's it. So this is the point that a person makes so much effort, and despite making effort, we throw the water of all of our good deeds, especially that person who's reached it, that he's fulfilled these four points. He should never imagine that, how can I waste my deeds? That I have implemented good deeds and I've got rewards, and then I go towards sin and wipe away all of my deeds due to the sins. and eliminate all my good deeds. No, 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 I should finish off this sin. I should leave this sin. I should drop this sin. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. I'm making effort. I wake up in the night. I do dhikr. I go to the majalis, the gatherings. I'm following the hukam, the orders of the sheikh. I'm trying to control myself and become a better person, a better human being. Then I throw the water of all of my deeds and I waste them away and I hand them over to shaitan. Think of this. Think about this for a minute. That one is the enjoyment of the nafs, the desires, and due to the happiness of the nafs desires, we wake up all night long, we do dhikr, we remember Allah, then we cry to Allah, and then we say, hey shaitan, here are my deeds, I hand them over to you, I don't need these. Does this make sense? Of course it doesn't. No, a person should be alert to the dhikr. I want to save my dhikr. And I want to get the reward in the akhirah. What a great reward for this dhikr. That such ajar, such reward Allah will give for dhikr in hereafter. So how is it that a person, Allah Ta'ala says, the people who do dhikr of Allah, the reward waiting for them is great, it's immense. A hadith has Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith. That look at the power of dhikr. That he stated that in the hadith it was narrated that if a person wakes in the night and for example, he can't get up in the night, he's weak. When people get up in the night, they're praying tahajjud or nawafil, reciting Quran. And there's another person who's weak. He can't get up. He wants to get up. Or there's another person who wants to give sadaqah, but he's weak in giving sadaqah. Maybe he's miserly, he's stingy, it's hard for him to put his hands in his pockets. Other people are giving money to the poor and distributing money. And he's got money, but he's a little bit miserly, little bit stingy, bit slow. And so he doesn't distribute money like he should. And in the same way, all our deeds, if you are weak in doing deeds like prayer, tahajjud, sadaqah, charity, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do dhikr of Allah. Why? Because if you're weak in doing good deeds or going towards amal, why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your dhikr will compensate for all the other deeds that you did not implement. You'll get the same reward for doing all those other deeds if you do the dhikr of Allah. Tell me, how great is dhikr of Allah? How great is dhikr of Allah? Look at this point. There's a person praying tahajjud, and he's getting up at night, and the other person, he can't get up. And Rasulullah's advice, don't worry. Sit, do dhikr of Allah. Your dhikr will compensate the other actions you want to do, but you can't do so. SubhanAllah, we're fortunate. I'm fortunate that I'm doing tasbih. I can't get up in the night. I'm weak. I try to get up. How easy the deen is for us. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, is such an action, such a great action. Alhamdulillah, if we look closely. And then on top of that, if we go to the end, if we falter, that we get up and then we sin. Or after going to the majlis, we go and repeat the sins we did before. What's the benefit of that? What's the benefit of this? Then the name will get cut off, that this person, he is useless. So that's why we have to try our best, that we do not commit any sins, because the sins will waste away all of our effort. And how long does the taste of sin last? How long does the enjoyment and taste of sinning last? Just for a little while, temporary. But the sins, they cannot compare to the good deeds. Good deeds and dhikr of Allah, the taste and enjoyment will last till the hereafter and beyond, eternal. But sin is a waste of time. But shaitan, he wants to destroy our deeds. He wants to make us wretched and cursed. So he wants us to sin. He wants our good deeds to be wiped away, to be destroyed. And he keeps saying, don't worry, you did this much dhikr, don't worry, you're fine. You did this many actions, you're a good person, you're pious. Just sin, make us sin quietly, then he'll laugh. Ah, see, you're a waste now. Now you're a waste. And he'll laugh because he made the servant of Allah do the sin. So this is where we need to be careful. This is where we should be clashing with shaitan, tussling with shaitan, opposing shaitan. You should say, look, it's better that I don't even do the deeds that Allah Ta'ala has made me do. All the good deeds, he gave me his mercy, his raham and his karam, and I tried my best and I reached to dhikr of Allah, and this sin, this small action of sin, and I did all the good deeds, I worked hard and made the effort that was not possible, I sat down and did dhikr, I went to majalis, the gatherings, I do all of the deeds, I worked hard and I sweated, and this sin, which is not hard to leave, it only takes a little bit of time to sin, it's so easy to sin, and I ran to the sin. Says the person, no, I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to reject the sins. I'm going to reject the bad actions. So what is this? Then the insan, he leaves the sins. So these are the five principles. These are prominent principles. The dhikr of Allah. And if a person does dhikr in this manner, in this way, then the love will come into his heart. It's immense love. So principle one, love for the dhikr of Allah. Number two, total focus and attention. Whilst doing dhikr, always he's focused and thinking about doing dhikr of Allah. And other things he's not really worried about. The third principle is that he learns dhikr by the sheikh. And he protects his dhikr and implements dhikr as prescribed and coached by the sheikh. Fourth thing, he's steadfast, regular. Regular and steadfastness, consistency. And the fifth thing is to leave the sins. And it's not hard for that person to leave sins. The question doesn't arise, he will look at the sin. He won't even go to the sins. He hates sins. So what is the sixth thing? SubhanAllah. Then what does that person attain? What does that person attain? Allahu Akbar, then he becomes like those pious predecessors, Hazrat Ghawse Pak, Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazrat Khwaja Muinuddin Chishti, Hazrat Imam Rabbani Mujaddad Al-Afthani, Shaykh Ahmad Sirhindi, these people who did these actions will become like them. And me, you today, if we follow these five principles, then Allah knows best that the people around us, the people in the dunya will say, ah, he's a great person, he's a good person, he's passed as a wali. It doesn't take long for Allah Ta'ala to give the rank status to people. Look, Allah Ta'ala has given us an open playing field, whether it's a sister, brother, woman, man, if we follow these five principles and alhamdulillah do the dhikr of Allah, your salah will be elevated, your zakat will be elevated, your hajj will be elevated, Allah, your fasting will be great fasts, Allahu Akbar, and your death will be an ajeeb maut, a beautiful death, and the world will be amazed. The world will be amazed. So why do we waste our time? Tell me, why do we waste our time? Look how much we can earn and leave the world with greatness. One dhikr of Allah action, it can take you to the heights. Wala dhikr Allahi Akbar. So my brothers, we do dhikr, follow these five principles and put them into your life. Not one of these principles should break or be left behind, inshallah. And if we don't do dhikr on these principles, then I seek forgiveness after forgiveness, then we're wasting our time. We are wasting time, and if we need to follow these principles, all of them, Allah Ta'ala's anwarat, the nur, the light, we are losing it. We are lost. If I think I'm doing dhikr, I've done this many, this be no, but I'll be at loss. I'll be wasting my time. If I don't follow these principles, I'll be blind. It'll be a blind amal. Blind action, for which I'll get nothing. There'll be no nur, no light, nothing in it. So will we do dhikr, brothers? Yes. So we should try, make effort, little bit of effort today. Alhamdulillah, it's not hard to follow these five principles. It's very easy. Allah Ta'ala gave these principles, so they're easy, aren't they? And the fifth principle, we have to work a little bit on this, make effort, that don't go towards the sins. Leave the sins. That's it. It's not difficult, very easy. Once if a person gets stuck, then what's shaitan? Who is shaitan? He's like a dog. The dog and the nafs. The shaitan is like a dog and a nafs, the desires, they are nothing to go towards. For example, if you're out in the wilderness, in the village areas, has ever a dog run after you to cut you? You've not, I've got experience of this. If not, go and have a look at what happens. When big dogs, they're in the parks, for example, aren't they? And what is their asool? They run after a person. And if you run away, the dog will run after you with speed, more. You'll run even faster and faster, the dog will run after you even faster. But if you stop, the dog will stop and step back. Doesn't the dog do this? Yeah, you stop. Look at the dog. Suddenly the dog will stop. Oh, what's happened here? If you go forward towards the dog will go back. Won't this happen? It will. So this is the nafs, the desires. That when the nafs tells you do this action, sin. If you run away and run after the sin, then the sin will make you, force you to do the sin more. But if you stop, say, no, I'm not doing the sin. Run away from me. Why are you making me sin? Then the sin will step back. You say, oh, go away from me. This man, he's not coming towards me. He's not sinning. So go. Confront the sin. Don't be weak in front of the sin. Don't be weak. Don't drop your shoulders. Oh, I've lost out. Oh, I've lost out. Okay, let me commit the sin. It's okay. It doesn't matter for a few seconds. No. Say, I'm not going to do it. It's the hukum of Allah. My ibadah will be wasted and fizzle away. What difference will it make? 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Is it jais? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do this sin? Is it okay, these eyes that I'm looking at evil, Allah Ta'ala may make me blind. This tongue that I'm sinning with, Allah Ta'ala may make me dumb. On the hands, Allah Ta'ala may take the function of my hands away. Then what will I do? Why? Because it can happen. This definitely can happen. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm shadeedul iqab. Don't you know? You don't know the azab, my azab, how they descend. Allah says, you can call out to me as much as you want, but my rahmah will not come. The mercy will not come. Allah says, the rahmah doesn't come. That if once I become angry and the wrath comes and I'm unhappy, Allah says, I don't need that person. Then this is the point. We see this, that when there's disobedience of Allah, how can a person think that he will benefit? Allah Ta'ala won't do nothing to me, the adab won't come. No, no, no. Within a second, a person, all his deeds are wiped away, and he himself, Allah Ta'ala says that I will send him the punishment. Allah Ta'ala says, my eyes, my hands, my organs, my feet. Allah Ta'ala can take away all of the functions of this. And Allah says, then I don't listen after that. That's it. I gave you many chances, many opportunities. 40 years I give you a chance. 50 years I give you a chance. Everywhere I sent you in the world, here's the message of deen and my nearness. I give you the message from everywhere, all corners of the world. I explained to you. I explained to you, didn't I? Yes, Allah, you did. Then why did you carry on sinning? Why did you carry on disobeying me, Allah Allah? That's it. Allah Ta'ala says, Shadidul Iqab, I am. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran. Allah has given examples of the qawms. The same qawm that was the beloved of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given them food. And Allah Ta'ala has given them enjoyment and ease. They're making buildings, construction, architecture. They're enjoying, they've got comfort, they've got strength and power. And they've forgotten. They think, who's going to ask us? Who's going to grab us? Who's going to punish us? Allah send a Nabi to them, the Prophet, that become good human beings. Allah's giving you rewards, how He's reared you and giving you all the rewards, and He's giving you everything that you need. Become insan. Good human beings, don't do these sins. They say, oh, go away. Who are you? You call yourself prophet? Oh, beat him as well. Kill him as well. He's pestering us. No one can tell us what to do. We can do what we want. We've constructed everything else we want. These buildings and parks and recreation, everything is ours. That's it. They forgot Allah. They rejected Allah. When it reaches saturation point, the sin and the disobedience, Allah says, you get back over my prophet. So Allah said to the Nabi, you leave this area, this place, I will deal with these people. And one shaykh, that Allah Ta'ala sent the punishment, and the whole history of that tribe or that nation disappeared from the face of the earth. This is what happens. When does Allah Ta'ala become displeased? When we sin and disobey Him. And this is the fifth point that can spoil all of our dhikr, waste all of our dhikr. So on the final point, we've wasted our dhikr because we're disobedient to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So these are those people who do disobedience to Allah, who don't have yaqeen that there's a Rabb, that there's a God. And they disobey Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Allah Ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Have fear of Allah. Fear me, Allah Ta'ala says. Why? How? You should have fear in your heart. If you instill fear in your heart that Allah is there, Allah is watching, then you will never implement the sins. Only that person sins who has fear, who doesn't have fear in his heart. And he stands in front of Allah and he challenges Allah and he disobeys Allah. So let's promise today, properly, all of us together, that we will not disobey Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That's it. Doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter how much my nafs forces me, shaitan forces me. If I disobey Allah, all of my deeds, I will waste them. I will waste all of my effort and the good effort I made. And on top of that, be ready that any time Allah Ta'ala's wrath and punishment can come. And this way Allah will grab, we won't even realize and know that Allah Ta'ala grabbed us. Remember this. This is the way Allah will grab us. And when Allah sends rahmah and mercy, such rahmah and mercy that Allah Ta'ala sets the majalis. He gives us these majalis, these gatherings. Why? Why? Such majlis, such gatherings of rahmah and mercy that the heavens and the earth are filled at this moment. Filled with Allah Ta'ala's angels. And such rahmah and majlis that nobody can depart from this gathering before he is forgiven. Allah forgives a person before he leaves. So Allah, if we obey Allah, He gives us such rahmah and mercy, such beautiful gatherings and reward. And Allah says, I give you gatherings and my majalis and my dhikr remembrance and rewards. Allah says, once remember all your life if you did sins and they all amassed to the heights. And then once you do tawbah in the hand of the shaykh, Allah Ta'ala revealed the whole surah. Surah Mumtahinna, and the verse is there in Surah Mumtahinna, where Allah Ta'ala explains, oh you people, if you sinned and wronged, don't worry, go and take the hand of the Shaykh and sit and do tawbah and repent, and whatever the Shaykh advises, you listen. Except Allah Ta'ala gives straight away three or four rewards. Number one, that Allah Ta'ala addressed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Quran, that do dua for this person who repents. Then Allah Ta'ala says, that I am Allah and I will eliminate all of his sins. And then Allah says, I am Rahim, I am merciful, all the sins he implemented. And look at the effect of Marama Masih. Allah Ta'ala says to the angels that gather all his sins and take all of the sins out of his account. Allah Ta'ala says, put all of the sins here, amass them and change them all to good deeds. These are the events, these are the opportunities that Allah Ta'ala gives, isn't it? Allah gives it, doesn't it? Does anyone want to do tawbah? Repent? Does anybody want to repent and do tawbah? Then come and do tawbah at my hands. And this is what we're doing here. So we should have courage and determination. This is the teaching that is being given. Is anyone who wants to do tawbah, or is everyone scared now? Is that it? Look, one tawbah and one repentance Allah Ta'ala gives this road. Whether we may not get tomorrow. Today is here, tomorrow may not come. Look how much rahmah Allah Ta'ala has given mercy. Allah's whole verse in the Quran, in this surah, Mumtahina, Allah Ta'ala advises, go to the wali of Allah, the pious person, do bayah. Put your hand in his hand, make the promises, leave the sins. Allah Ta'ala says, I will remove your sins. You do good deeds, I will remove all your sins. But if you don't do tawbah, every one of your sins will be placed in front of you, and I will give you the punishment for those sins in this world and the hereafter, and you will not be left without the punishment. And this is essential for every man and woman. So we need to make the decision. Isn't it? Those people have done tawbah, alhamdulillah, congratulations. They've understood this message, and they've understood this message properly. So this is tawbah. What else is tawbah? And the people who are making complaints, you will realize that Chachaji, if you're here sitting, fussing and waiting and criticizing, we'll realize, oh, I made a mistake. That time I should have listened, taken heed. And those tomorrow, the chains, I'll be shackled and the angels will be grabbing us and dragging us into the punishment. Allah Ta'ala says, will extend your necks longer than the necks of the giraffes or the camels. And the weight of the sins will be there. Not just this, Allah Ta'ala will say, I gave you Quran. Allah will say, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to his Sahaba, blessed companions, that, oh my companions, I saw Jannah and Jahannam. I saw paradise and hellfire. I saw the punishments with my eyes. I saw paradise and the gardens and the roads. And I saw hellfire, the punishments, that believe in me. I'm your Nabi. I am Mubashir, I am the witness. I testify, listen to my words, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, listen to me, my advices, my guidance. I'm shahid, I've witnessed, I've seen with my eyes all the punishments in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala showed me these things. I see everything and I know and I'm aware that what is the punishment for what sin. That's why I'm telling you, take heed. Listen, this is not something minor, insignificant. No, understand the point I'm giving to you. So this is one thing Allah Ta'ala has given. Okay, if we sin, fair enough. But don't take long in doing the good deeds. Maut, death can take you at any time. Maut can come at any time. Don't delay in good deeds. Prepare yourself for death and prepare for the biggest thing, which is death. And the biggest preparation for death is tawbah. Repentance, the biggest preparation. A person, if he's done tawbah and repents, then listen, the zani, the adulterer, the thief, and he steals and he goes and repents and death comes straight after that, subhanallah, direct into paradise, direct into paradise. No hisab kitab, no questioning. This is the promise of Allah. Promise of Allah, this is what we need to do. Okay, so alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, we should do tawbah, we should repent, and we should prepare for death. This is the best preparation, do the dhikr of Allah, and do dhikr on these 4 or 5 principles. Inshallah, your life will become like Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.